Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Speak Up, Listen Up, and Act Upon What You've Heard. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, except with our safe distancing, I am recording away. And today you're hearing a recording of a celebration of Black History Month that we had during the Powered by Age podcast. And I'm going to take you to that right now. Good afternoon and welcome to Powered by Age, the senior-led podcast sponsored by the 411 Center in Vancouver and beyond. Today we have a special treat. We are celebrating Black History Month. We have four wonderful organizations that have collaborated to come together. And it is going to be, we have a queen with us. We have a doctor with us. We have a woman whose name is Comfort, who is a source of comfort and joy. And we're going to, what we usually do right at the beginning is we have the people that are on briefly introduce themselves. As other people come on, they won't introduce themselves, but I'll start with Neil and Leslie, who are two of the peer leaders within our group that sometimes help broadcast, help interview people, et cetera. And then I believe that Dr. Charles is facilitating the group, so he will introduce himself. Also, we have another person that will be introducing themselves. My sister joined us. So we'll start with Neil.
Yes, Neil Ryan. I used to pretend I was a businessman until I retired, and then I wrote a book.
Leslie?
Yes, hi. I'm Leslie Hebert from New Westminster. I'm also a writer. I write short stories and poetry, currently working on a memoir, a travel memoir of a trip I took to Japan. And I'm also, I teach English as a second language online. And I have a claim to fame. As a child, I grew up in South London on a street called St. Agnes Place. And after I left, it had a very famous resident, Bob Marley.
Lillian?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lillian Bate, and I am Charlotte's little sister. I am coming to you all from Snellville, Georgia. I am a certified teacher, and I have been putting programs together for children for the past 27 years. I'm sure she has told you all about my latest adventure, where I'm trying now to connect grandparents to grandchildren as part of a literacy program that I host every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where grandparents and grandchildren come together and just have fun while learning and reading.
Okay, and now I believe for this illustrious group, Dr. Charles will introduce each of the organizations and then facilitate the presentations. Oh, one other of our regulars, Chris. Chris is joining us, and we'll introduce ourselves too.
My name is Chris Morrissey, and I am a member of Britannia Community Center and a member of QUIRKY, the Queer Imaging and Writing Collective for Elders. And I, too, am attempting to be a writer, writing a memoir. So that's my latest attempt at writing.
And now, the real, again, Dr. Charles.
Hi, my name is Dr. Charles Christadade, and I'm an academic and a community organizer. I'm representing four organizations, the Ghanaian-Canadian Association of British Columbia, the Great Lakes Networking Society of British Columbia, African Stages Association of British Columbia, and the Africa-Canada Education Foundation. We have decided to come together this year to organize one big, hopefully successful event. The theme is 95 years of Black History Month, celebration and reflection. So we are going to be talking about our event today. And Yes, that is us.
And would you introduce each of the presenters?
Okay, so we have Mama Kombi, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Great Lakes Networking Society of BC, and Madam Comfort Arrow, Artistic Director of African Stages Association of BC.
Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
Well, tell us about yourself, Mom.
Oh, myself. Yeah, my name is Kombi. I was born so many years back in Kenya, which is in East Africa. And it's on Equator. I moved to Canada in 2006. And I live here. And I'm happy to be with you, to meet with you, to talk to you, to see other elders, because I'm getting old and I am learning now that I can join and start writing a book, because everything has always been written by somebody else on our behalf. This time I'm going to learn that I can write a story for me, by me. And I'm happy. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I guess it's Comfort now. Comfort's done. Hello, everybody. My name is Comfort. It is my dad that gave me that name. I don't know why. I happen to be the first girl in my village. My father is the chief of that village. And he sent me to school when it was very unpopular in most parts of Africa to send girls to school. Mm. And I was the only girl at first. I was the only girl in the whole school. And everybody was, all the boys didn't like me. They said, you should go home, until somebody, one of the teachers started teaching us stories, started collecting the community stories and telling us. That kept me in school because I was first running away. Then I went to school, became a teacher, a French teacher by profession. My students were running away from French when the government made it compulsory that we should teach French and English as means of communication. I resorted to French, to my storytelling. We used little storytelling to teach the language. I don't want to keep going on and on and on. And I came to Canada, the same thing happened here. There were children who said they were bullied, they didn't want to go to school. We got them together in Burnaby, here in Burnaby there, and then we started using storytelling and then helping them with their homework and all that. And then I moved on to Surrey and said, I want to rest. I didn't want to continue, but the community came again, mainly the women. They said, please start something with the children. They are still like that. So we started the homework club using storytelling again and singing and all. The children really benefited from it, and it helped them a lot in their work. Many of them have been writing me as to where they are at after finishing their degree course or college courses. So that's why I stuck in there and said, we must continue with this program. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Comfort.
All right. Thank you.
Tell us too also, Dr. Charles, about your academic and other work that you do.
Well, I am a professor. I teach sociology currently at Alexander College. And I'm also an author. I've written a number of books. I'm also an amateur poet. I dabble in poetry. I used to write a lot of poetry long ago, but then I had an accident. My room caught fire and I lost all my poems. Ooh. And I got so disappointed and I put away my poetry for a very long, long time, and I'm starting again. So I've written a few poems, you know, during the past 5 years. And I am a community organizer. I work with the African Cities Association as the executive director. I serve as an advisor and a resource person for African, the Great Lakes Networking Society, UPRO, Positive Network Society of BC, the Ghanaian Canadian Association, of which I double as the current president. So I believe in community, university, collaboration. I believe I'm a Pan-Africanist, and I want to do everything to ensure that our communities get together and work together and improve and lift one another up. So that has been my philosophical, linchpin, as it were. And so that is me, yeah. And it is because of this philosophical orientation that I brought together these four organizations to organize this year's Black History Month event. And the planning is going on very smoothly. We've got a number of speakers, including the keynote speaker, Dr. Arikana Shimbohore-Kwao from the USA. She is the former African Union ambassador to the US. And we also have Dr. Miska Kasahun from Ethiopia. She's a medical doctor and indeed also a beauty queen. So she combines brains with beauty. So she's one of our speakers. And we have, poets, Dr. Neil from the USA, and then, local artist Ezra. Madam Errol will also be telling a story or stories. And we have a number of MLAs and MPs, including the secretary to the premier, attending our event. And the event is on Sunday, February the 28th. And I'm taking this opportunity to invite everybody to join us via Zoom. So you go to African Stages or Great Lakes Networking Society or the Ghanaian Canadian Association, and you click on their Facebook and you find all the information there. You can either join through Zoom or Facebook. It's going to start at 10 a.m. and it will end at 3 p.m. It is a packed event, star-studded, and I might say dignitary-studded. A lot of people from all walks of life participating in what appears to be looks to be a very exciting show. We have speakers and presenters from Africa, from Kenya, from Ghana, all participating with thoughtful performances.
Jerusalema, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zungangishilana. Jerusalema, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zungangishilana. Yami aikolana buso wami aukolana ilondoloze zuhambe nami dao yami aikolana buso wami aukolana ilondoloze. Ilondoloze, da oya me ai kolana bu so wa me au kolana kilo no lo sé su hambena da oya me ai kolana bu so wa me au kolana kilo no lo sé.
So I believe you're going to be sharing some elements of your program with us today.
Certainly, I can do that. Yes, yeah, so I can sing a song, and I'm going to tell the context of the song. When I teach, if you recall, self-fulfilling prophecy, I sing this song to my students to contextualize and explain that theory to them. So the song goes like this. Adia minye yi, ye se ma ye, afe na me be ye, bos ma ye bon yo bibe. Ma ye bon yo, bos ma ye bon yo bibe. What the song means is that you have accused me of having done this particular thing. And I've told you repeatedly, I never did it. Now, I am going to do it and to hell with you, all right? So that is the song. I learned it when I was a very small child in the village, and I loved, I used to sing it all the time. Sometimes as a sense of defiance, all right? When somebody's getting on my, was getting on my nerves, I'll just sing it.
Yes. You need to teach me that song.
Okay?
Yes, yeah, yes.
I think it's Madame Errol's turn to sing a song.
To just call me to sing a song here.
Oh, I think I told you. You forgot.
Oh, no, that I would tell a story. That's
all right.
Okay. It's okay. Mm. It's okay. It's okay. A story is good.
All right. Oh, so you want a story now? And I would tell, I'm from Nigeria, the West African region has, they all have similar stories. For the Ghanaian, they have Anansi, the spider, and Anansi features in almost all the stories in West Africa. So Anansi, the spider, was very selfish. And I'll start it as I start my story. Tohio, hia, bo. You all reply when I say Tohio, you say hia, bo. Tohio,
hia,
bo. Tohio means I have a story to tell. And hia, bo means tell it quickly. We are listening.
Oh.
And this is about Anansi and wisdom. I know that the Ghanaians here know that story very well. Anansi, the spider, was just thinking one day and said, I want all this wisdom around here to be mine. So he started gathering it where he sees a gathering of people who were talking about something that was nice and wise. He would collect it and put it in his gourd. A gourd is, I don't know how to describe it. It's a plant, but it bears fruit. And then you can remove the seed and use it to fetch water or put palm wine in it. It's very useful. Oh, sorry about that. Nancy decided to go around collecting all the voices of wisdom and their wisdom and put in the gourd, and he would seal it. And then he decided to go and hide it on top of the tallest palm tree around. He didn't know that one of his sons was watching from nearby. He started climbing the palm tree. He put it first at his back, then later put it in front. He was struggling with it. He didn't know how to put it so that it wouldn't break when he was climbing the palm tree. And the son kept watching him. Then the son broke out in a laughter. He was very shocked. Who is that? And the son came out and said, I am the one. You don't know how to climb the palm tree, and now you are carrying the gourd. You are carrying it in front. It will break as you climb the palm tree. And he said, who are you? Why did you come here? Get out of me. As he was doing that angrily, his hand hit the gourd, and the gourd broke. It fell down. It's like what we use during Halloween. What do you call that fruit place during the Halloween?
Pumpkin.
That gourd is like a pumpkin, but it can be very huge in some parts of Africa. And you can dry the outer part and then use it to drink water, put anything you like in it, and you cover it. So as Anansi was angry with his son and wanted to hit the son, and he didn't know that he was going to hit the gourd, and the gourd broke into several pieces, and all the wisdom he had kept in the gourd all went. Some went to America, some went to Europe, some went to Africa. So that's why we all have wisdom today. Thank you. Thanks. That's just a short story. I'm sorry I didn't remember to get but this is a very popular story everywhere.
Thank you. Now, Sister Comfort has made me remember an old story, and I'll say this old story is about the wisdom of a woman. There was hunger long time ago, and this family of 9 kids, a husband and a wife, starved to death. So they started looking for a way to survive. And there was some very narrow road that they followed. There was a smell of food coming from that small, narrow road. So they went. When they went, they got inside there. There was a big village with all sorts of food. So they said, oh, we are dying outside there and we have food here. So they went in, and the people that were there, they were not people. They were just like huge, scary animals. And these scary animals saw the human beings and said, oh, where are you from? And they said, we are from out there and we are hungry, we don't have food. So they said, oh, welcome, eat, and then show us where you live. So they went in, they ate, and they said, we shall show you where we live. So they walked up to the village they live. And this huge animal said, oh, this is the meal. This is what we are now going to feast on. So they went at night, they told the husband, we want to eat, every day we want to eat a kid, your child, every day. So they dance and dance and dance and dance. So the woman came and said, I want to save my children. And the husband didn't know that. So the woman went outside the house and dug a very deep hole. And that is where she would put all her children there. And what she did, she went to the forest and started harvesting things and mixing these things, and she came and put them together that something looked like a human being. And she cooked it. It was so good. So these huge animals came and tested the first kid. And, oh, this is good. This is good. And this woman took her first kid and went and hid in that small hole outside there. And the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and now herself. When it came to herself, because she's big, she still went out and made something too big that looked like her. And she went and did the same. And then she ran to go and hide herself too. The husband did not know what was happening. The husband was just like, oh, my kids are gone. My wife is also gone. Now I am ready now to jump in this hot water. Then I will be cooked and these people will feast on me. These huge animals will feast on me. And then when the wife had... They're arguing and he's also thinking. He wants to jump in the water and then, oh, it's too hot. He goes back. He jumps again. It's too hot. So he's struggling. And then the wife came out and said, what are you doing? No, I want to jump. Where are you from? So they, okay, before we argue, come. So the wife hurriedly went out and did the same. Made that huge thing, went, cooked it and put in a pot. So when these huge animals came, they feasted saying, oh, we have now finished the whole village. And the wife went back and told the husband, these are our kids and here we are. And then the husband was, how wise were you? How wise? I didn't have this. So as much as we can say we are human beings and we want to give so much to our husbands, we also have something as women to give. And that is something that I learned, that it came from a woman to save the family. Thank you.
Nice. Can I also tell a story?
Yes, please.
Yes, those were wonderful stories. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the reason why the spider, Anansi, has no head, all right, is what I'm going to tell you. Now, Anansi the spider is a very, very guileful and selfish, indeed narcissistically selfish, person. One farming season or harvest season, Lion, who was a yam farmer, had too many yams that season. And so after the harvest, he went around. He went and beat the gong around and said, look, I have too much yam and I want somebody to come and eat the yam, the extra yam for me. And that person will give him a prize. And that prize is going to be a nice haircut. Okay. And Anansi, being the greedy person, came forward immediately. Yes, I will eat your yam for you. So Anansi started eating the yam, and within a few weeks, he had finished the yam. So Lion said, okay, it's haircut time. So he sat Anansi down. He used the shell of a snail as the scissors, okay? And he removed all Anansi's hair, put some smeared shea butter on Anansi's hair to look so shiny, right? And told Anansi to come back the next day. And Anansi was wondering, you've removed all my hair. What haircut again do we have to do? But Anansi had no choice. He had to come back the next day. Now the next day, Lion removed all the skin. The smeared shea butter on Anansi's skull. Now Anansi was hurting. Anansi had to do something, otherwise he realized he was in danger. But Anansi knew about a juju, a medicine man, right nearby, and went and told the medicine man his predicament. So the medicine man said, don't worry, I'm going to hide you somewhere, and when Lion comes, I'm going to deal with him. as soon as after that, the medicine man conjured Anansi into a corn seed, right? And the cockerel in the village swallowed the corn seed. That's Anansi. As soon as the cockerel swallowed the corn seed or Anansi, lion came to the gate of the medicine man's village. He kept knocking, the medicine man opened the door, and he said, lion said, I know, Anansi is here. Get him out right now. We need to finish his haircut. Get him right now. Otherwise, I'm going to beat you up. So there was a fight between the medicine man and lion. Now, Anansi was watching the fight from inside the tummy of the cockroach. And at a point, the lion was overpowering the medicine man. So Anansi started running commentary. What? I didn't know that you are such a weak fighter. He was telling the medicine man, if I were you, I'll hit lion this way and hit him this way. So the medicine man said, oh, you ungrateful great. So you are insulting me that I can't fight. Well, if you can fight, you can fight. Come and fight your own fight. So the medicine man conjured Anansi from the tummy of the cockerel, and lion said, sit down for haircut day number 3. So now lion removed all the skull from Anansi's head. Anansi was without a head. All right. The lions again smeared the skull or the the headless, the skull, and said, come back the next day for another haircut. Anansi said, oh my God, what am I going to do? Anansi knew about another medicine man somewhere. So he went to that man and also told him his predicament. So this time the medicine man turned Anansi into a broom, okay, the broom. And soon after that, lion came and the fight ensued again. And the same, blaming of the medicine, the second medicine man, that is such a weak fight and things like that. So this person also reduced Anansi, removed Anansi. The haircut continued. Now Anansi had no head whatsoever. And then ran to another person. This time is an old lady, a wise old lady, very powerful old lady. And this old lady had a lot of hair covering all her body. So when Anansi came to the gate, okay, of the old lady's house, he was knocking, but the old lady couldn't hear him. Anansi knocked and so loud, he said, oh, are you deaf? Can't you hear me? He kept knocking until the old lady suddenly had Anansi, and she raised her head like that, and then Anansi got frightened, went back. The old lady said, oh, just come and tell me your story. So Anansi told the old lady the story, and the old lady said, no worries, I'm going to deal with lion when he comes. So lion came, and then the old lady commanded a sheath, a knife, in the corner of her room, and said, Afafram! Then the knife flew out of the sheath and went and cut lion into pieces and burnt lion into ashes. Now, when the knife finished cutting the lion, the old lady said, Ajobrel. And then the knife went back peacefully, quietly into the sheath. Anansi observed what happened. The next day, Anansi went to town and started announce, I'm inviting all of you, all the animals, to a fight. I alone, I'm going to fight all of you. Now the animals, they were all sneering. So, who are you, Anansi? What can you do? You know, look at you. But Anansi, the animals, okay, let's give you the benefit of the doubt. So on one bright Sunday afternoon, Anansi met all the animals in a very big open park. And commanded or conjured the knife, the old lady's knife, afafrang. The knife came and slashed all the animals into pieces and burnt them into ashes. Now, unfortunately for Anansi, he had forgotten that after the knife finished cutting the lion, the old lady said, Ajubro. Anansi had forgotten. Anansi kept saying, Afafrang, Afafrang. Then the knife was coming towards Anansi. Anansi was saying, Afafrang. The knife came and then cut Anansi into pieces and burned Anansi into ashes. So that is the story. The moral is that greediness doesn't pay, boastfulness doesn't pay, and the reason why Anansi has no head is because of his greediness. That is my story.
Thank you, Charles.
Mm-hmm. I've heard many Anansi stories, but I never have heard that one and understood why he doesn't have a head.
Does it? Is it the head he doesn't have or hair?
Head.
H-E-D,
yeah. He has no head.
He has no hair.
We used to have a head, like our head now, right?
Oh. Now
we used to have a head, all right?
Like but human hair. Like
shaving. Shaving, but the cutting of the head, removal of the skull and everything by lion.
Wow.
Do you find that these stories, I know, I think Disney, someone did a book and was comparing Aesop's fables with the Anansi stories. Do you know today in schools, are children here in Canada being told any of the Anansi stories and what the fable or what it means?
Yeah, they are being told. The children, I have told stories in many schools. And Anansi is popular in Ghana and maybe Guinea, but in some other areas, we use the tortoise or the hare, the rabbit, as popular characters in. Mm-hmm. And many children they love the stories. They love, though this one by Dr. Dade is so long and has so many, you have to summarize it because if you are telling to children, I mean.
Right.
We have some books, many of the books, I have some storybooks on Amazon, and many people call me to say how well the children like it, how the children like the stories in it. But when we are, maybe I should keep that to myself, but it's to Dr. Adade that if the story is long like that and you're telling it to the young people, you have to shorten it. And the parts that are not good
relevant,
for
yeah.
children to listen to, you have to polish it up yourself. Mm-hmm. That is up to you anyway. Everybody does the story the way they like. So. Thank you.
Leslie had a question.
But actually, listening to the stories, I'm also thinking about the Brer Rabbit stories. Are they connected to these Anansi stories in any way?
The Brer Rabbit?
Brer Rabbit, yeah.
Yeah, they feature in African folk tales because they represent at times the very sluggish one, like the tortoise, like the rabbit has he hops most of the time instead of running like the lion. Mm-hmm. So they take them as the downtrodden animals or representing characters that are downtrodden, and the lion and the giraffe and all those are the bigger bully animals.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the there's Disney stories that feature Brer Rabbit. He always seems to be like a trickster.
Yeah, he can be a trickster.
Yes.
He can can also come out as somebody with intelligence. We have a story of the lion wanting to know who will rule the jungle after he's dead. And all the animals, he gave them a staff to throw and count 1, 2, 3 to 10 before it drops. All the animals failed. Only the Brer Rabbit came along, hopped along, and instead of counting 1, 2, 3 and the stick falling, the rabbit counted, he threw it up and said, 5 plus 5, 10. So when we leave the telling table in the school, then we say, you see, there are many ways of getting number 10, which are the ways 5 plus 5, 2 times 5, and 3 plus 7, and so on. So it's up to the teller to modify it to suit the audience.
And some people have said that Disney, in using those characters, those were African stories that people told, but in putting it under the Disney mantle, it made it seem like they came from Disney, but these were stories.
They said if there's a proverb in my place in Benin City, the old Benin Kingdom, there's a proverb that if you own the cloth and you call your cloth a rag and use it to rub the ground, the person who doesn't own it might take it and use it to make a crown or something. So it's like that. When even in my country, when I tell stories to my French students, we use stories, they say, what are you doing with stories? No, without trying to sit down and find out what usefulness are these stories to the children and work with them. And at the end, anyway, they found, the children were winning awards, the French government award. They sent them to France and all that. They acted all this story of Charlotte, of the rabbit.
Yes,
the rabbit, the tortoise, Anansi. You used it in stories and acted it while speaking in French. It helped them a lot in language learning. So it's up to us to polish it. You don't have to remove the lesson. The lesson we are learning, telling that story, we won't remove it, or we can, Madame 60478. If I were telling it, I wouldn't say they cut off the head. No. If I want to tell it to tell it to children, I won't do that. But they can do something mean to the tortoise. Can tear off his clothes or chase him away and all that.
Yeah, that is good land. Just to add on this Disney and our people, stories that are taken from Africa and made it to belong to another person, it's not so much has been taken enough from Africa.
Let's stop complaining. Let's do it ourselves.
Yes, ourselves.
If they do that, then you can do your own. That story of that Kenya, they put into a movie. I've forgotten the title. The boy who was the main character died recently.
Black Panther?
Yes, Black Panther. Just look at it. That's exactly how it should be. So the character probably was a different character in Kenya or in Africa, but they found a way of making it that when you do bad, you get bad. You do good, and it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So We can't be telling those stories exactly the way if it were long ago when I was like about 4 or 5 listening to story, they say, oh, he came and he cut off the head of the tortoise. No, these days we don't do that again. You don't tell your child, and they cut the child might like a turtle or a monkey, and then we are putting that in their head. It's not very okay. For me,
some of the European fairy tales are pretty dark.
Pardon?
Some of the European fairy tales are pretty dark. There's a lot of violence in them too.
Whether Europeans are dark or not depends on who you are. I told my children so many stories when they were small. There are some when I see what was used there to punish the villain, I change it. I tell them, oh, they went to pluck fruits and they didn't share with him again. And that's better than, and they cut his head off. No.
I think you are also relating to something about games. A lot of the games that children are playing, they end with murder and violence, and people have said, well, it's just a game. So I think in adjustment to the times that we can always adjust stories. But the other issue that you raised and other people have raised, that interviewed a musician who's talking about music, a lot of music like blues and jazz, that there are people that come and they listen to the music, and because they have access to licenses or they have access to studios, they bring that music back out as their own. And so that's one of the criticisms that's happened with a few of the animations that Disney as an enterprise has taken stories that are based in Chinese culture, indigenous people's culture, Black people's culture, and when they respin it, it's respun as a Disney story. It doesn't give you anything of the roots or the credit to the people that those stories originated from. So I think, yes, we do. We have a lot of rich stories, and giving them new spins or things that can give a relationship to something currently happening. There was something else that Queen Mother mentioned about your bringing together this event, four organizations collaborating, because sometimes people say, why is there a Nigerian and then a Jamaican and all these separate events? But your intention to bring it collaboratively, did you have any resistance from anyone in developing a collaborative program?
To us, we have had a song that has been sung. Africans will never work together. Africans will never come together. So then we are just trying to say, is it true? Like Madam Comfort said, we have to start doing it to make a difference. So this is when Professor came together and said, why don't we try? Why don't we try to come together and do it? But we still see we have received a lot of opposition, even from the funders. Why are you coming together and you did not even tell us why? And then we don't know how to say why we came together. I don't know if they can understand why we came together, but for us, coming together is just one step at this time. And maybe tomorrow it will not be four. There are going to be 10 groups coming together. We are doing this because of the way now that we have so many challenges and we have so many organizations coming up with different ideas, different needs. So if we came together and received something small, we can do something together. And then other 10 organizations together to do something different. So to me, that is what I would have maybe said.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for education, and just what you've shared with us today, the stories, the purpose, a different way of recognizing the role of women in that story about, you know, the mother making something else, a substitute up for the animals. These are things that people don't know. And so from something from each of different countries, I think really helps, because in some of the interviews we've had with people for Black Lives Matter, I've interviewed other young Black people who said, there's nothing about our heritage, there's nothing about Africa in Canadian history, but yet you've talked about being here for a number of years and contributing to the history. So I think, or do other people think that this bringing a program together will help people have a better understanding of how people of different parts of the African diaspora have contributed to Canada?
Maybe the problem there before somebody else, the world does not understand me and you. You come from America. I come from Africa. To them, we behave, we eat, we sleep on trees together. But if they came to learn that in Kenya, for example, Kenya, just as a country, Kenya has 42 tribes, 42 food, 42 dances, 42 drums, 42, just that is Kenya. Languages. What about Nigeria? Oh, what about Ghana? If we can teach the people that Africa, the Black people are diversity. They have so much that they hold, their values, their beliefs, but they also are different in almost everything. Stories will be different, but there are stories because that is who we are. Dances will be different, but we do dances, all of us. Food is something that we all of us do. So if somebody will understand how an African from the continent is different from an African from America, is different from a Black person who is Black but who was born in Canada. So that one, they have always grouped us as one without asking us, without knowing exactly what the difference will be or is.
Yeah, but in spite of our differences, we are also very similar. We have a similar history that binds us together. The similar, continent of origin. We all came from the continent, but humanity as a whole originated in Africa. And so there are similarities. There are many things that, bring us together than divide us. Yes, I'm from Ghana. Somebody's from Kenya, Nigeria, and all those things. But also our African humanity, the humanity of the African value of humanity is a thread that links us or binds us all together. We've experienced the same colonialism, the same slavery, the same struggle against colonialism, against slavery. Our cousins were brought forcefully to the diaspora, share similar pains, similar tragedies, with us. And that, I see, is what brings us together, and that should be what should bind us together and move us, together in unity as we struggle against all the problems that we face.
The similarities, when we look at the similarities even in Africa, for example, let's bring that picture from Africa to the First Nation here where we live. It is something that was done. It was something that was planned. It was something that was put there. When they talk about reserves here, we in Kenya we had reserves, and with time they changed those reserves and they said we can't call them human reserves. Let's call them animal reserves. But the reserves were there. Nobody, this is just Kenya, nobody would move from Vancouver to Surrey without having that card or without having that plate. And you are putting a plate in your neck, in your own country. So it's a pain that we want to let go and look forward. What is it that we want to do? And one thing that I'll ask any of us with this skin, let us unite. That is all I can ask.
I think that is a very good way of summing up this time together. And we at Powered by Age welcome you to come to any of our programs. Sometimes during Black History Month, it seems like it's the only time of people want to see Black people, but we are here everywhere. So I think coming into this group, not just coming because you're Black, but because you are, each have ideas. This is a podcast for people to share their ideas, talk about things that we would like to see happen to have Vancouver be a more livable, age-friendly city. So definitely you're welcome to come back and to join us. We have a program that each Chris, Leslie, and Neil have participated in called Spins. It's stories, poems, interviews, and novelties that are recorded and on our website. So Jesse will be contacting you. When people share a story here, we also bug them about, or encourage. We don't bug people. We just keep reminding them and opening, throwing out the welcome mat. But you are welcome to include stories on our spins. And we just thank you so much for the time that you spent today and look forward to hearing your program on a Sunday. Does anyone else have any comment that you'd like to make?
Yes, Sister Comfort.
Thank you for the one. Stories.
Yeah, I've done a lot of traveling, and every culture has the stories to share with the children in order to give them a concept of who they are.
Yes.
And I have poetry that says that, in fact, that we are all one human being. So thank you for your stories.
Thank you, Nam. Thank you.
Okay, so we won't sing the song, "The More We Get Together, the Happier We'll Be." We'll just know that that's true. And I look forward to seeing all of you again next Thursday at 1. And we can hear each other on all the places that podcasts are heard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mama, Samba.
Kwahe, jambo, kwaheri.
Jambo, jambo.
Kwaheri. Kwaheri means bye.
Kwaheri.
I'll just stick to one today. I learned one word at a
jambo.
Time.
Jambo is for you today.
Thank you.
Karibu.
Madam too. Yeah. Leslie. Thank you for all your thanks.
Thank you for you all. I'll see you again.
Bye.
God willing.
Okay.
Well, this has been Powered by Age podcast coming to you live, heard over the airwaves. And today we are just celebrating the last Thursday in Black History Month, but not the last time that you'll be hearing of many aspects of the African diaspora, people of the African diaspora living in, working in, and sharing in the city of Vancouver. I'm Charlotte Farrell, the host and coordinator, and you too can join us. Just send an email to me at pbaafc@gmail.com, and we'll get you signed up to take part. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at The Place to Be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. We have had a wonderful time learning more about languages, stories, throughout the African diaspora and how they are relevant and useful and enjoyed here in Vancouver. I'll see you again next week at 10. And when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love.